one story I wanted to tell them. I couldn't.
This is Nancy Knows with the Florida Folklife Program. Today is March the 9th, 1984. I'm at the Ocala Library with the Library Project. I'm going to tape record a session with Mr. Willie Marsh and Mr. William Crowell in just a minute.
Tape up so that I don't miss any of your stories. But let me explain just a little bit about this project. It's funded through the National Endowment of the Humanities, which is up there in Washington, D.C., and it goes along with the exhibit that I showed you all out there with the tour boat guides on it. And what we're trying to do, it goes around to the different libraries in the state, and then we bring local people into the libraries to talk about their knowledge or their traditions in the area. So I guess it was Kip Lornell who talked about y'all, and he was very excited about all of the things that you know about. So that's just about what we want to talk today. And anybody that has any questions, just feel free to ask them at any point in time. Maybe y'all could start out just by talking about where you were born and how you started your work out at Silver Springs.
I was born in Silver Spring.
In Silver Spring?
Silver Spring, yes.
Near the Springs?
Well, about two blocks. I'd say three blocks.
How your family came to move that close to the springs. Was there something about did you use that water in any way?
Well, I guess why it was so close, my great-grandmother might say used to own the Silver Spring.
Awesome.
They didn't think they were going to mount anything, so she just finally let it drip and drip. All that big story with Aunt Scylla told about her, about the bridal chamber and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I can remember from that time.
Is she the one that started talking about the bridal chamber and everything?
Well, she's the one that started the story on, but they declared she didn't know anything about the story, but anyhow,
it was
a story.
What is that story?
Oh, about the two lovers buried down and all come at night and dumped them over and then whatnot in love and wouldn't let them get married and got heartbroken. And she come dumped them over and then whatnot. Bridal chamber.
That's the only part of the springs.
That's the only thing I didn't like about it, because I just figured it was,
Yeah.
I didn't feel nobody would do a trick like that. But anyhow, it was a great story. I already put myself out this way. I said, it's said to be, supposed to be. So, and another thing about that long rock, about long into the wall, I said, what was it, Bill?
What's that?
That rock, what do you call it? Petrified? What is it?
I didn't see that.
You mean like a petrified tree or something?
No,
it was rock, but they call it they say it was the backbone of some
prehistoric animal, yes, ma'am. Mastodon or something like that.
Prehistoric monster.
And he did find some rock. And he did find some real bone. He kept telling about what a big spring on. It's something and whatnot. They wouldn't pay me any mind, so they finally found them and found them. Big jawbone, or jaw teeth.
Yeah, they call that thing.
Real.
I don't know if they say it was an Elephas columba. I don't know what that is. But the masters, they both are there together. I pointed out to both of them, both of the owners, but they never paid me any attention because they thought it was a rock. But nature is a funny thing. It's only about 2.5 months out of the year the little thing would show up. After that, it would cover over again with vegetation. Right in the midsummer, about June and July, you could see it plain. After that, you didn't see it anymore. It would cover over every year. But when that time comes, there's some big teeth down there. I could see
them. I mean, there's big
Now, is this down in the springs or in the land around?
In the
springs. First part there, the 40 feet of water.
40 feet.
I could see those teeth in there. So one of the fellows on the front, he was unrelated to Mr. Davidson, and I told him about it. I said, that thing is out there. He said, take me out there. He looked down. He said, you sure that's something? I said, I don't know what it is, but I can see some teeth in that thing. He said, let's get Perry. It wasn't Newton Perry.
Five minutes.
So let's get him, because he's a good diver. He was the lifeguard there. And he dived down in there. He caught hold of that thing I called a tooth, and he shook it. It didn't come loose. So he went back the second time. The second time, it come loose. And he brought it up. And he brought it up with a big tooth.
It was a big
tooth about the size of my two fists, or larger. Then everybody got excited. They wanted to know about it. And I had two, Mr. Davidson in person and Mr. Ray in person, and showed them that thing. They knew me. But after MT, that's what MT Horn, he, Mr. Davidson married in his family somewhere. He was on the front. And he was young like we was, you know. He wanted to know what it was. So I told him, so he went out there. He said, let's get Newton to bed, dive and see what it is. And he come up with that thing. Old spring, then everybody got excited. So they went and got some men from Top on Spring, some divers, and brought them there, and they brought some tush out of there. It's 6 foot long, yes, tush.
Oh, for goodness sakes. What was this?
I don't know when it was. All I know it was done. And they put those things on display down under the Marin Hotel.
How old were you all at that point? I mean, were you still in your teens? You weren't
both
guys at that point, were you?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, you were?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, fact about it, Mr. Ed Carmichael, which owned the Spring, he worked with Mr. Ed Carmichael much longer than I did. But we all worked then before we started to really develop it. Mr. Carmichael leased it. He didn't sell it. It's not sold yet. He leased it to Ray and Davidson in 1924. Which I can remember. Well, he had worked there long before then. But they didn't start to keep any books and records in terms of Ray and Davidson taking it over. See?
Carmichael was more of a, before spring started coming up a little, he was more of a farmer. About 2 or 3 miles below, and I was down there with 2 mules, and big plow, and had we done made the farm, the coons almost eat it up. You had to hire a man at night to get him shoot or run off. Had a man named Gracie. He just raised stuff on that land, cucumbers and tomatoes and squash and just all that stuff. And had a boat come up from down Greenville side. And load him, he'd wake at night and wake him, load and make extra money. It's just exciting.
Mr. Marshall, how did you get out to Silver Springs?
I was born there. My mother was born there, my daddy was born there.
You know,
how old were you all when you started working out there, actually doing the work?
I can remember one thing about my age. Mr. Carmichael was there, my daddy was a cook.
On the boat.
I stayed out there, and he was cooking for him. Mr. Carmichael had a little thing they called
Passing the boat from Silpen to Palatka.
They used to have books on the spring they call High Water, not High Water, but the Weak Ivory.
Right.
And what the other name?
Weak Ivory and Silver Spring.
And they would call them, they'd make trips from here to Palatka, and they called it the Daylight Route. They'd carry 50 to 75 passengers, and they'd get on there about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and they'd give them 2 meals a day and stuff like that. That was doing me the winter. But after the winter was over, that didn't go on. I know one of them was called the Weak Ivory. But anyway, Mr. Carmichael was going to Oklahoma, I think. He's courting his second wife up there, and I always wanted to drive a car, you know. So he says, I said, Mr. Carmichael, let me drive. You know, you used to have chauffeurs back in them time. I said, let me be your chauffeur. Let me drive you up to Oklahoma. He said, oh, well, he says, I'll let you take me, ride me up to drive for me when you get in your teens. You see, I wasn't in my teens then. Now, I knew how old I was, so I done it just to be devilish. I said, oh, man, go ahead, I'm 11. So I evidently was 11 years old, because I was really telling my age, but I just put the teen on it, you know, make it sound funny.
And you weren't driving, though.
No, no.
That's pretty good.
No, no. I was down there trying to get some meat there from the day. See, he was the cook, you know.
He was a good cook.
And all them good eggs and stuff in the morning, you know, I had to be on the job. So that's just the way that particular part of it went.
I waited one season on the boats.
He used to wait table on one of those boats. Which was it, Weak Ivory?
I just remember, anyhow, I believe the Silver Spring, them were cousins, Robert was pilot.
Well, now we've got some pictures of those boats, 2 decks high, you know, coming around up the Silver Run. Now, those the boats you're talking about?
No.
Way back.
This
okay.
Is a paddle wheel, steam.
Oh,
steam.
Okay.
Those daylight routes.
There's one right
after.
There now. It's,
oh,
it's
yes.
One right on there now. It's paddle wheel, those okay. Steamers.
Okay.
The daylight route was the faster boat. And there was gasoline prepared, but these old 2 and 3 story boats you see there were steamers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
had people stoked to go make them go, huh?
Yeah, get one of wood.
I will.
Get put on the fire just like they're out in the wood. And there was three, let's see, one, two, three. Some of those things was four decks. I got a picture, I ought to probe
it. I got that silly picture.
Me too.
My daddy picture.
And the owner would put their hand on her and Silver was standing in the middle. That's the one you got there.
Yeah.
We both got one of them. But that was way back there. But she died.
So your families really had lived in that area for a long time.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
for you to be talking about your grandmother who
that's
was
right, that's
on
right.
That. So you all had been there. Your families had been there for a long, long time. It must have been some of the first settlers.
Well, she lived to be 110 years old
oh,
at that time. That's silly. And my grandmother, around, I guess at the time, she was about maybe 95, and she died, wasn't she?
Was your mother?
Yeah. My mother, grandmother, and man.
I don't know how.
She's up in 90. Well,
are you all related?
Uncle and cousin.
He's my uncle and cousin.
I married his auntie.
Oh.
She was an auntie. That was Ruth. She was a wonderful girl.
I don't know if this is what they want to know, but I want to tell this story about today. Madam, back then there wasn't anybody that was at the spring at all. If you come up there, you read the sign, and it said, if you want service, last bottom boat service, ring this bell. Mr. Madden didn't stay very far from there, which about a good city block. And they would ring the bell, and then he would come down and had the oar man. So what Mr. Madden
did. That's my son.
He had a fellow that come down from north, and I don't know what, but looked like he said Ohio, but I don't know what it was north of there. And he spent the winter down at Mr. Madden's house. Mr. Madden would give him a room and board for one reason. He had a big, fine car, and Mr. Madden took care of him. I didn't take care, but he'd give him a room and board. And what he would do, when he would ring the bell, Mr. Madden knew there was somebody down at the spring. Well, they had him a thing going. Just about time Mr. Madden get all his people on the boat, and it's backed out from the spring a little piece. This man would drive up with this big car from the north or whatever city it had on there. I think it was Ohio. I don't know. I couldn't say. But it looked like that's what it was, Ohio. And he had a big, fine car, you know. And he said, hey, man, says, hold on just a moment. I said, can you take one more? I said, yes, sir, we coming. So, Mr. Madden, he'd paddle back. He had to reel it home. See, he could carry 12 or 15 people on the thing. He'd over back, come get this fellow. Well, he get on there, and he come back. Mr. Madden be all hot and sweating. This fellow would get up. He's a big, fine, rich-looking Yankee. You know, he'd get up. He said, well, he said, this poor man had waited and give us a wonderful trip. One of the most beautiful trips in the world. I think everybody on this boat that is able ought to give him a dollar. Put the dollar on the glass, you know, and that would throw a pressure on all the other people. And most of them would give him a dollar.
Yes, sir.
If it was eight on there, he'd get in. He'd just die laughing about it.
Yeah,
and every time those people would come, he took care of that man, fed him, and, you know, lodged him there for the winter. Just so they would do that.
He could ride all the time.
Yeah.
He'd ride free, and then what he would do, you see, was he'd always make that little speech. Now, I think everybody on here that is able ought to give this poor man a dollar. Throw his dollar down in the glove. A dollar was all he was getting. He wasn't getting a dollar a day long then. So he'd make $6-7, you know, on that trip. And so he kept that man there all the winter. He didn't have to pay anything. So.
Well, let me tell you a true story about him. Now, he's a smart fella. He made a tipping trap. Is all right, tell me?
A tipping trap?
Yes, ma'am. The boat, he sit right here, there's a motor and everything. He gonna carry people down, and he get about close from here to, I guess, the end of the building there. He had a, up in the center of the boat, had a regular old corset spring to hold a dime. The boat man had a string come right back. He'd pull it down. Thank you very much, glad you enjoyed the trip.
Oh, the dime would fall.
Yes, man, right in the center of the glass. And they didn't know where it come from. We got on him, everybody got on him. Oh, they gonna run him, we gonna ride him, we gonna kill him, we gonna kill him. And finally the bosses come out, two big boys, and they thought it was fun. So then everybody put one in. I was chicken of the whole bunch. I was telling him what they gonna do. I put me one. And we had a white guy there, Cheatham. He made one, but dropped about five or six. Just keep on. Didn't even. Just kept on.
But after I made that fresh
one. Yeah, and they all got satisfied. Yeah.
I was kept it fresh. I had a rubber in the center of it. And when I pulled that thing, I turned it loose, and it would go back up through the little hole. But now when the people got out, I put it back through that hole. So they didn't see nothing up there for nobody. So I pulled that thing, and it would jump back through the hole.
And you know what happened? They abused that, and finally made them take it out. They fired some men about, begging and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They come back, and they take it and take a quarter. Throw it over the head over there. So they kept on until they don't mind the tipping at all.
Oh, they don't? No. I haven't been on
if you're given anything, just like you slip me a dollar, a quarter, and all that. Slip it.
Some people abuse the
people. Yeah, anything.
And that's what that made it bad for all of us.
Sure did.
See, anybody and everybody, you know, they didn't have no regards for anything.
And he would, and the boss told us that was a part of our living, was a salary. Mm-hmm. And we wasn't keeping count of the particular tips. Then he turned us into the government.
Oh.
And he'd go to Jacksonville for take a lawyer. And there was a lawyer. We met the lawyer and everything. And he just, it didn't have nothing to do, but they just put their feet on the table and he clapped us. I think we paid $200 to get out of there. I thought that was terrible.
I don't know what it was so bad. They was trying to get back at us because we were trying to get unionists, man. They wanted to prove that we were making money. They didn't have to pay us anymore because we was already making money with the tips, and we wasn't turning the tips into the revenue service.
Well, that was what it was.
The owners was getting back at us because we put pressure on them by bringing in the union, and had to vote. So they thought they would put us under some pressure, too, because they knew that we were making as much money probably as they were paying us or more on tips.
Right.
So, but we didn't turn it into the government.
So they put
the government on us, you see.
People always talk about the tour guides and the way that they explain the different sites on the spring or the river. And I was wondering if you can remember some of the things you used to say to the tourists on the boats and just remembering that. Can you tell us some of those things?
Yes, you could. I wish I had known you wanted us to give that. It's a lecture that we had.
Explain
to the people as we go along.
Those big catfish and all those things.
Especially all the way down, see. It's 14 points. All the way down, but coming back, you know how to do everything, and then all coming back, this rest period.
You had to tell this story about the bridal chamber, the girl by the name of.
Bernice Mayo. Clarence Douglas, Bernice Mayo.
They said this story about, let me see. This is the bridal chamber, the burial place of Clara Douglas and Bernice Mayo, two disappointed lovers. And you go on from there and said that there was a. Lord, I wish I had known that.
It was, their parents did not want to marry because she was. I guess a poor boy, and she wanted to marry somebody rich and whatnot. They got heartbroken over that, and went that silly. She brought him out late out of the night and just killed him over in the hole. Nothing to it. Story.
You were mentioned there were 14 points on
the entry.
Can you remember which were the points?
I can remember just about all of them. Started off with the Mammoth Ledge.
Yeah.
And now they could drop from 17 feet.
That was a fun one.
And you know what happened when you say that?
What was it again? I missed
the Mammoth Rock Ledge. Everybody noticed the head through the glass. And they look back at what we're going to get a drop from 17 to 31. You're going to see the whole. Don't drop us. Don't drop us. That was funny.
You're looking down there, you really
well, it said it changed depth, you know, from 17 to 31 to 40, like that. Then when you leave 40, come a gradual rise to about 3 or 4, 5 or 6 feet. Then you go down again to reception hall. That's 40 feet, but catfish reception hall.
When you go over that ledge, you said we're now coming to the main spring, which flows 550 million gallons every 24 hours.
Give me those figures again. 550 million?
Gallons every 24 hours.
316,913 gallons a minute. 316,913 a minute.
And
that's what I said.
The cave is 12 by 65, 12 feet high, 65 feet across. And that's with the main spring. And that spring can flow that 550 million gallons every 24 hours. That's the first big spring.
You know they're selling that water now?
Yes, I'm going to put it in front of them, man.
Lime.
It's full of lime. Plenty of lime, man. But it's pretty clear water. I drink it. Drink the whole time over there.
Right there in the head of the springs.
Yes, that's the main,
isn't it? But there, that's the mammoth ledge and the main spring, and next was the reception hall, bridal chamber.
Ladies'
parlor, and then you go on to
Devil's Kitchen.
The Devil's Kitchen. Then the geysers and the
Florida
Snowstorm, like, and then the Blue Grotto.
The
backbone of prehistoric remains.
With white lime and geysers. All over the place, like that.
It looked like a long backbone, and they called it the backbone of prehistoric remains. But I rather believe it would be.
Dinosaur.
It's what they call an outcropping of limestone, but they called it the backbone of the prehistoric remains. Then we had a beautiful spring there, the Blue Grotto.
Yeah, that was pretty. It's on an angle, man. That's pretty. They used to come in like they could see it.
And then we
Christmas
Blue Grotto, everywhere we went, had a Christmas tree and all.
That was pretty.
I forgot. Tell me more about the Christmas tree. I've forgotten that one. What did they
It's called a Christmas tree grove. And there was a little springs in there at that time that would boil a little particle of shell, and it would fall back on the vegetation, and some of the vegetation was taller than others. But it did look just like Christmas trees.
It wasn't making stand that fern stand the spring, but see, it boiled up, even and it sprinkled them. And that big log, or the petrified log, how about that? That was Cypress. And there's a boat, rowboat down there, used by porcelain, they said.
Oh, you said it was porcelain? Yes,
did
you
really?
Probably used by
the I don't want to tell you, probably, yeah. Just so.
But that was after what they give, that was the what they give you to, you know. Now you could change a lot of things yourself because you just didn't say what all was in the literature there.
What's the next one I build after leaving the Christmas tree?
Let me see, what was that thing over there where we used to swim?
Oh, I don't know. That wasn't never too much.
No. But we didn't went on down.
That was for business. That was for business who come in style.
The last one was the catfish. Went on down to go to Catfish Hotel. And it was catfish there at that time.
Oh, no.
I wish everybody could have seen Silver Spring back when we saw it, but it was in the natural, just the freak of pure nature itself. And
before
it wasn't disturbed by man.
Motorboats
and
all that.
And they got to commercialize, and it's got to be so highly commercialized, and the people were going down in the bottom making motion pictures through this clear water. And whenever they make their setup down there for a picture, by swimming and walking and going on, it would destroy the vegetation. And then that would leave the naked bottom there, you know.
And they look for us to satisfy the people after they unstirred up and left the thing, and the guys that sat and come back.
Earth, I believe. Now I'm telling you what God is pleased with at that time. But after they got to highly commercialize that thing, putting those old big jumbo cruise boats on there with too much power, and that, and the water gets low down, might say, well, sometime during the summer, the water was not enough rain, and the water would get low, and that boat, those boats with that high power would just muddy their whole river.
And that
mud would settle back on the vegetation, and that taking the beauty away from it.
Private boats from these boys come up and wait up the passengers and all that.
But before they got those motor boats, they wanted to push things on there. Nobody would never imagine the beauty was there.
What I'd like to know is, like, when you all were first growing up out there, did you take boats out and look over the side at some of this? Could you see it like that too? Or how did you all sort of
discover? That was the first.
Yeah, I mean,
you
could
see just as good
on
a calm day. You could see just as more than you could with the glass bottom boat.
Oh, okay. That's
but you only had to look through a little space there until they got those wider ones.
But did y'all even have just plain little rowboats that you went out in there to look at the
looked
down
on the side, shade yard like that. The next was window pane little box sitting on pass around.
Oh, I see.
Seal that and sit it on top, smooth out all the time. Just pass around.
If the wind 50%. Was blowing, you couldn't see from the side of your boat because it's from the riffles. But it was a clear day and the wind wasn't blowing. Instead, you could see a lot more looking just, or the way, if you just be quiet and let the ripple from your boat settle down, you can see anything you wanted to.
Well, when you're swimming, can you see under the water and you dive open mouth? Can you see it?
Sure. You can't see as well because your eyes are filled with water, but you can see down there just well enough to see anything. Another thing. When that vegetation would clear off out there during some months in the summer, you could see as many false tea sets down there as you want. That's where they would lean over there to feed the fish, mm-hmm. and those things wanted to drop out, and they wouldn't mention
it.
Just I saw a man drop his teeth one day, and I was kind of half mad. And he meant to say something, and his teeth fell in the water. He said, turn around to me, I think I didn't see you. But I finally got the fella to go back down there and get them for him, but I knew where they were. But I was kind of half angry.
But did you try to get some others out?
I don't know about how many they got, but that
fella
got his.
I tell you what, I did try to get out.
All around over that place, that four teeth.
And I tell you another thing, man. People drop rain, throw them over for good luck and money, and I had me a money cup. I had me a pole over me and a cup on it. Strain in and see, I got some kind of money out that place.
Oh, they got plenty.
On the edge, they close by the
boat. People throw seed, go to Hounds, and pass by the boat. See, I said, they're just throwing away money, throw away thousands of dollars in there. You throw it down, and you run the boat over it. Uh-huh. And they can see that on the bottom, see.
Yeah,
see. But it would soon disappear, you know. But you could still see some of it at times. They dip around there for many days.
But this old guy, what Joe Biden, he was a funny old. I mean, he was trying to start his motor, and he had his tips in a handkerchief. And he cranked, bloop, bloop, bloop. That's why he's gonna get his handkerchief out and wipe his face and all his money. Bloop, bloop, bloop. He went overboard. He ain't never got that. That was too far. I didn't try.
I got another telltale.
Huh?
I went down there with just a man and his wife once. She seemed very young. Turning over there. And she intimated me. I don't know what she said to me now. I really don't. I wouldn't say what she said, but whatever it was, she said to me, intimated to me, if I'd push him overboard and let him drown, she'd make it well with me. I can't repeat the word, but I know what she was talking about. And she made me so mad, look like I didn't know what in the world was. She wanted to push the man overboard. So she seen that I wasn't up for that stuff, and she kind of cut that conversation down. Just two.
Oh,
and that was about the worst thing that I ever run up against. Some people would, just like if you come out there bringing your friends to see this scene, and you're the guide, she may have your friends, or he may have his friends there. And there are a lot of people that wasn't in that family. And you start to give him the lecture, and the person that's been out there before, he want to give a lecture to the people that they brought.
Yeah, he's been
before. And you couldn't get a word in anyway a lot of times like that. And when you be talking, the attention was divided. And a lot of things you say, they wouldn't hear it. And it was...
Then they come back to the poacher. Couldn't hear the guide.
Uh-huh.
And you didn't... I got a little man. She just talking. Oh, she just talking. And I've been... If you went out there, you had to give the lecture, that story of the bridal chamber. You had to tell that from end to end. And I said, you just keep talking. And I went there and I gave the whole lecture, and I made it distinct.
He was a good
guy. And she's still talking.
He was a good guy.
So I went out, she got back, she says, you didn't show us the bridal chamber. I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, but I give the whole lecture of the bridal chamber, and I think everybody on here can witness that. She said, yes, sir, we heard it all. And she got so mad, she could have killed me. But you see, they would do you that way. It's just it was a job that just stayed on your nerve all the time. You know, understand it? How can you tell somebody something? And if you break somebody, they want to listen to you, they want to listen to the guy. Well, I've had people in the boat say, I wish you would shut your mouth. We didn't pay to hear you, we paid to hear the guy, and you heard. Some of the people didn't care. But you see, you had all that to come up again. Then they come back and they have what you call it? A complaint card.
Yeah.
And they would go there, then the people mad, angry with you, you see, and sitting at the boat, and they got where they put our names up on Didn't even know which boat they was on. Wilmar didn't do so-and-so and didn't do this, that, and the other.
And he wouldn't tell them, the boys together, he wouldn't tell the tale, but I done it, Mr. Ray. I done it. Why did you do it? I don't know. I done it.
You want to know what I done down the river? Ask me. I said, don't say nothing to me about what they said to you unless you can face me, my accuser. The accuser's gone, now you going to get on me. Or face me, my accusers? Okay. Other than that, just don't face me, my accuser.
Well, I bet you that I rode on both your boats in 1942. That's the first time I went to the Springs. And that's when they had the big bell down under the water, you know?
Yeah, I was right there. We were there. Crashed
through that thing.
Well, no, wait a minute. That was the bell that went down.
Yeah, the diving bell.
Yes, the diving bell. I didn't get on that one. I remember now. I didn't go on that. I went through the thing that you walked down and under the water.
The glass house. What did they call it, Lee?
Glass house.
Wasn't it built for some of the movie making or something?
No, that was built. That went along with the glass bottom boat trip.
Oh, just part the trip. Part of the trip. You took
after the trip, you go through.
I remember now. That was a long time ago, too. But the first time I was there was in 1942 in that bell. A bell, that kind of thing that they went down, but I don't know what that's what you mean or not.
This is a plum house. It's like being in here now. Just look out to plum house.
They had a thing before that she mentioned me. I had forgot about that thing. Yeah, they call it the diving bell. Mm-hmm. And you could, I don't know how many people would go down in it, and they would put a pressure on that thing and take it down underneath that water.
And then crash through.
And then it lifts back up.
I'll tell you exactly what year that was. It's 1942.
42. I don't know when it was.
Okay, when was the first... What was the year of the first glass bottom boat sort of as we know them now? That, you know, after you remember the year of that, or is that in this story?
I would like to say, because I read a piece in the paper about the man, the history of the spring. It was in the paper, and it said some man was named what was the first man that made the glass bottom boat. But my recollection was Harlem Jones. He made it to fish with.
Oh, how interesting.
But they called this a man something else that made the first glass bottom boat. You see, different people get different things, kind of. But Harlem Jones made a boat with him to go fishing. And I want to tell this story. He fished with something that nobody else in the world ever fished with, and he was the best fisherman that I ever saw. Yeah. I heard of. He fished with sweet potatoes.
Me, cooked, I do too.
Fried bacon.
I do too.
See, bananas.
Yeah.
And fat meat.
Yeah, no, that's all. I don't like
that. All that. That's what he would fish for, those fish.
He'd catch them.
And he'd catch more fish than anybody that would. Sweet potatoes. I used to go out in his boat to see if he had left a good sweet potato down there. Because he was, you know, he had a lot of, and don't forget bread too. But he had sweet
bread
potatoes, bananas, that bread. And that's what he put on his hook.
Just the plain old bread.
Light bread, the way that you match it.
Kind of like a dough ball. Yes, we used to have what we call
football
game with the catfish.
That was something.
Take a big dough ball, and we'd throw it over there, and run the boat over it, and just hundreds of catfish would go out there. And sometimes they go to fighting. Someone would eat the other one, all kind of stuff.
Catch another, kill a little cat.
Was this during the tour?
That's special, that football game.
That while you were watching.
Now we're going to have the football game. We throw that old big ball under there, you know, and the fish would, and catfish would come out there by the thousands.
I remember all that kind of, you know, activity when I was riding the boats those first years a long time ago.
Well, now, how long have you been around?
Well, I went away then. I was just a tourist then. Mm-hmm. I've only been here since 1966, but I had been back two or three times. I was here in 1965. And then I was here when they brought all the new boats in. Now, were you all still on when they brought in the new boats? Remember, they brought the Seminole Nation up? They brought the whole nation.
And we started out there, they had the little boat you had to pull.
That's what I did. Man.
With your old, didn't have a boat.
Pipson.
How many people could you take on that one that you rode? Is that the 12 you're talking about?
About six, eight.
Oh,
That was terrible. You had to get the brace and then ride back. And, well, you couldn't
I
get
one trip that way.
You could not come back up the stream because that big spring, the water is running about that fast.
And
you have to kick it down, show everything, and what you're going to tell them. Then they bring a motorboat down and pull you back to the bay, turn you loose.
Oh.
But you wouldn't be able to ever get back. That's where Mr. Madden ruined himself.
See, Mr. Madden used to pull it back.
Yeah, he used to pull it back. He just ruined himself.
That's why that man said, I think everybody on here ought to get the man. He pulled that boat back with 10, 12 people on it. I guess that comes.
Yes, like that. Just like that. He just ruined himself.
He wouldn't ruin himself too, but he could do lucky he's riding a bicycle. And he know he's going to get that man to tell him. He would put that money on that place.
Yeah,
he's
money got everything.
He'd make
it
more money than anybody.
Did you ever sing any songs while you were doing your tours?
I never did because I couldn't
never
sing.
Did nothing like that, no.
What were some of the comments that you'd make as people got onto the boats?
Well, we never did make any when they were getting on, but most every time we would be on the outside, and then the boat get loaded, and they put what they call the hatch down, we would climb around the sides and come in from the back, and then we could salute the crowd and tell them what was going to happen. I'm your guide, I'm Willie Marsh, and I'd like to have your attention, so on and so forth. Our water now 17 feet deep, and we get a sudden drop from 17 feet to 31, 31 to 40.
Mm-hmm. They forget about what they're seeing. They're looking back at you. You're talking. My cousin, he'd do that. Get the attention. Notice the head through the glass notice all the time.
Well, then people really wanted something to laugh at more than
yeah, they like
the comments fun. Yeah, you know, they want you to be comical. And I never could, I wasn't very good at that, but some of them were. And I used to say, the easement you are, the better guide you make. Because people get laugh at you.
Well, I'll
come back. So, can that fellow speak English? He says, you say that word again. I see coming one day, the fellow said, what did he say? I said, I don't know. He said, say that again, more. And he said something, I don't know what he said. He threw the 50 cents on the cash and walked out.
Well, I tell you, the worst I've had on a trip was, it was two fellas come on, what there was, from Russia or something. And the whole talk was about the war was going on then, I think World War II. But their nation had them, America, you know, and beating them up. You know how I felt about it. And finally they stopped talking that. And that man pulled off his clothes and put on his bathing suit and jumped overboard, taking a swim. And I was talking to him all about, you know, I was supposed to be master of the boat and the captain. He wouldn't stop. So I come back and told Mr. Davidson about it. I know if I'd have told him about it, he'd have jumped on him. He's fighting right now. I wouldn't tell him. And I told him after he left, so I wish you had told him, I canated him. I'm the
evidence. He had
been
to all
the
kinds
voice.
Of things.
You
had
to be
smart. He didn't just stay there.
How long did you stay out in the water? Of course, did he come back on the boat?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, just wet everything up.
Oh.
And I have to tell him all the time, don't do it. This is not your boat. Ain't nothing new. That was tough.
Well, one day I got into it with a fellow. He's from Orlando. I had my eyes closed. But what happened? You see, sometime when the people would come, just like if you was coming there today, and the motion picture people was had us sit up in the bottom making pictures and whatnot, you know. Well, the people that come in that particular day or that week, they would see some of this underwater. But after that was over, they would take all that stuff out, and that didn't go on anymore until some company come along. I mean, until they released it for making the pictures. But if you come along there during that time, you saw that. That was an added attraction. So this man, after I made the trip, which I thought I'd done a good job, I tried to, he said, well, where's the people, the mermaids that be going to see you under the water? I said, they are not here today. I said, that's not a trip. That's not included in the trip. That was an added attraction because the motion picture company were here at that particular time making pictures. He said, no. He says, I've been here 4 or 5 times and I saw it every time. I said, well, you're the fortunate man. Because it's all gone. It's not here anymore. I said, that wasn't sponsored by the management. It was sponsored by the motion picture company. And they're gone. Oh, no, you don't know what you're doing now. And he kept on till he made me kind of pass. So I don't know what I said. I had worked there 35 years. I said, well, I'll tell you what you saw. You saw more in that two trips you made on this river than I saw here in 35 years. And that made him mad. Well, you see, I had all the other people pleased, but by him saying that I didn't show him the thing that I should have shown him, that just threw dampers on my whole trip and made the people think I didn't know what I was doing. So he went up to the office on me. So it was just that way all day long. You didn't know who you were riding. You'd be very careful. And
probably he and I, one of them maybe, rode Mark Barker and her bunch of
them. Yeah, yeah. Oh, did
we didn't know it, but probably did, because I know they was out there. Two or three days later, right down the road, and they running on them, and they had a bang.
Shot everybody up.
I'm glad it started out. I guess I'd have jumped overboard.
Could you tell me about the things that you said on board, Mr. Marshall? You were saying a minute ago that you used to, that had given you a piece of paper.
I have probably forgot some of it.
Is that the way you originally learned when you were a child? Or?
Well, no. We knew about it, but just like if you go out there and you get the job, you'd have to ride with what you might say, you rode with all of them. And you could take something out from either one, if you know.
Man, don't take it out.
And one that you may like best and like his speech best, you'd copy behind him, and then you'd add whatever you wanted to later on and so forth. But you had to ride for a week or two, I don't know how long, with the other guys, and you'd hear them all. And you could pick your speech.
Not a whole lot of them.
So that's
you, what you do what?
Not a whole lot. I wouldn't tell all my speech.
No.
That's why it makes so difficult.
Yeah.
So you would learn your own speech and things that people would like to hear, you know, and so forth.
Yeah, but you each had a sort of a sing song quality to it as you were spilling it out. I remember. Can you give us any of that?
Well, we can start either I start, it don't make any difference. If I had known it, I'd have got it all together before I got here. We can go down a piece on it. Say, now, ladies and gentlemen, so I'd like to have your attention to you. You're now beginning on our trip. The water is now 17 feet deep. The first thing we would say is this. This glass is a half an inch plain plate glass. It does not magnify. It just coming to me now. The things you see are their natural size. The water we're now over is 17 feet deep. We get a sudden drop from 17 to 31 feet.
They grabbed the seat and I dropped.
From 17 to 31 feet. And the water gradually gets deeper as you pass along from 31 to 40 feet. We're now coming to the main spring, the source of Silver River. The cave is 12 by 65. It's 65 feet across and it's 12 feet high. The water is flowing 550 million gallons every 24 hours coming through this cave into the river. It forms a river that is 9 miles long and have a current of 4 miles an hour. That's for that particular spring. Now we are now at evening, we're going to our next spring.
Second largest
spring. Now I said the water is gradually getting shallower as we go along. It's rising from 40 feet to about 10 or 15 feet till we get to the next. We now have a grassy, what is it, William? We have a grassy
bottom.
200 yards. Our next spring will be reception hall. And we'd show them that and how the catfish would come out under the ledges and whatnot. Sometime we'd have a ball game there, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
We're going to have a ball game. You wouldn't see a catfish hardly. We make that old big ball of bread, you know, and throw it over, and we know just about where to put it. And when that thing hit the bottom, catfish come from everywhere. See, they would go up underneath those rocks, and you wouldn't see any, but they were thousands under those rocks. Very funny thing. And they would go under those rocks, you know, and stand there all day, and only come out in the afternoon, late by night.
They're nighthawks, they can't see in the day.
Oh, that's bad. And the sun hitting that water, making it light. Mm-hmm.
At night,
they would hide all day, but late in the afternoon, if you want to see a lot of catfish, come out on a cloudy day.
Oh, yeah, night.
And you see, it must be the catfish eyes were very sensitive to light, and they'd go back in those holes. And I watched the otters go down in those holes behind those catfish and run them out. And you could see the dust coming out of another little spring where he went underneath there, you know, and he'd go right on down in those springs behind those fish. So, You get the reception hall, let me tell them about the bridal chamber. And ladies' parlor, the devil's kitchen, Florida snowstorm.
How about that white flower?
Oh, that little flower that long coming thing, back.
Bridal wreath.
It's growing at the stems of that long grass.
Sagittarius.
Bridal wreath flower. Now, let me get your story together and what I'd be thinking, what kind of story they tell about those flowers. Let me see. It's called the bridal wreath flower. If there's any old maid,
old maid,
young lady, or young gentleman, anyone desires to get married, will get one of these bridal wreath flowers and wear it in the heat of the left shoe for three days? For 3 days. They'll be happily married in 3 days.
They believe that.
All them old maids with those flowers. Well, some of them really believe it. Some of them come back and tell what a sweet, bring their husband back stuff, you know.
Yes, sir. Well, that man didn't want to tell that prepping. He was a chemical man.
We used to call him spreadhead. Yeah. There's no way he'd be doing his hand like that for people he'd bring out there. But I don't know. What was his name?
He didn't want you to tell that every time.
Had to tell that story of the bridal chamber.
And the girl
Clara
from Tampa.
Maid,
the girl happened. What about the girl from Tampa? Well, she got one who was married a day or two quicker. Weight double, you know, like that, he said. Now, he'd like that. But he would not. He would not help you now get no tip. He wouldn't do anything about that. When you get the door,
he was going. And there was Clara Douglas. Yeah, Bernie's Maid. Disappointed love. that's where we start that particular story. Lady by the name of Ancilla, they brought her here. She brought her here and dropped her this spring. And later, the gentleman, he returned and he got himself in the same spring. So they were joined here. The two disappointed lovers were joined and married right here in the spring. So I wish I had thought about that, what you wanted. I could have got it kind of straight because I haven't said that thing in 12, 13 years now. I got away from there. I forgot about it all. I have been back twice. I went there one night last time to see about it. Sure, but other than that, I have not been.
About how many times a day would you run that spiel?
One to how many?
12, 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then no lunch, you might say. Mm-hmm. This time of day, you might get a sandwich. You had special sandwiches, special Cokes, 10 cents. And by the time you could go to get a bite of that sandwich and drink a Coke, all right, come on the boat, ready. Come on, get on.
I was kind of ready to go, but it was hard.
Now, it ruined my system.
One of the tiredest things that you can do on this earth and have to keep doing is talking.
That's a big job. Right from
you can sit here and talk normally practically all day, but when you've got to talk above your voice, above children, and above somebody else's talking, you could do better if you were hollering. But if you've got to speak and talk, it's hard.
You're not going to make it easy on us.
And you get tired of talking, you were tired.
They got a record now. You don't have to do anything. We just turn it on.
I bet I'd go back at
it. Next was a microphone you talked about. I bought one of these things, whatever you call it, microphone, Jackson. Whatever. Time I got started, take that thing down, boy. We can't understand. I felt so bad.
Get my that thing, boy.
I felt so bad.
But they got got it just before I left with loudspeakers.
That was pretty good.
But brother, when you get tired of talking, they got to still talk
and no dinner,
you want to do it.
No lunch.
If they didn't allow you to get tipped, you'd make one of the worst guys on earth because you get so tired you couldn't talk. But that little money you was gonna get when you get back, you thought, well, it would just make you kill your own self, you know.
Well, Charlie,
you was dying on the boat, didn't know it.
Tell about Charlie New over there. His uncle or something. No, he's a tip man. Oh, he'd sit right back in the boat. He'd get right back downtown, and he'd get his quarter together, two quarters, and they wouldn't give him nothing. He'd just fool them to death. He'd round them together. Thank you. And look at this fellow. He gave him a pen. Thank you, man. Glad you enjoyed it. Thanks for trying to fool you. Thank you, God. And he'd get them too. He'd get them.
Prison and others. That was what the trouble of it was.
Yeah, he was.
That's why I'm getting my trap.
Yeah.
I put it up there so I wouldn't have to, you know, do that. I had it, and I pulled that thing at first. But it got where it began to get out, you know. It had a road up in the Atlanta, not Orlando Senator. They wrote up about the fellow in the trap, putting in the trap. They had it.
I didn't know that.
So, yeah. So what I've done, see now I want to stop that. You see, that's why I pulled that, you know, I made the string come down and come down over here and I put a leaf on that. And see, that thing got widely known and everybody would sit there and watch you to see you pull that string so that dime would fall. Yeah. So I made mine down here on my feet and they'd be looking at me and I'd be talking to them, you know, and I'd say, just throw it right on the glass. They'd all look at me and then I'd match my foot and the thing come out. And
battery.
But they were looking for me to do this, you see, but I just matched with my foot. So one time the fellas got onto it, one time there, you know, and seen that he had a quarter up in this thing that you could kind of see from the quarter. A man got up there and started to get it out. He got it out. As soon as he got it out, I cut the quarter off. I said, mister, you took the fuse out of there.
That's smart. Toy smart. I never would have thought of that.
See, as soon as he took it out, I cut the motor off.
I never would have thought of that.
So I said, mister, I was using that as a fuse. The fuse blow, not using that as a fuse. Now you got to put it back before I can move. He said, excuse me, pardon me. I said, oh, well, stick it back in there like you got it. I stuck it back in there.
Now tell them about that coral snake there on my boat.
Oh,
8 people
gosh.
On it. Right by my face.
Coral.
Coral, yes. Oh. He wasn't big, but he's deaf.
I tell you what happened to me one day. After they made those loudspeakers, we got out the lower and you put our feet down at the bottom up here down here. And it was dark down here. A lot of wires were down there to come up to our loudspeaker. I felt something on my legs. It was, you know, and I go like that, you know what?
He's something else, ain't
he? I did like that again. I was moving my legs and I felt the wire was, you know, touching my leg. So I got my leg good and still, and I could still feel that thing on my leg. I said, what the name was on? And it was dark down there. I looked down there and I saw a big old brown looking thing. I said, it looked like a rabbit. And I couldn't see down in there very good, you know. I come, you know what that ain't? That's a snake, a big old mug. I don't mean a little one. See, he come in there at night when we put the boat.
That's
up.
Damn
and
cool.
And that's gonna come right on up. And I didn't want the people to see it. I had a little thing about that. How I didn't want them to see it because they would panic and, you know,
jump
over the boat. And he's too big. And that thing come up, he throw right across and all that. And the people begin to ask me questions and I begin to quit talking. I was acting silly, but they didn't want to make me acting silly, you know. And he just crawled in his tongue. You know. Well, if I had jumped up, I thought to grab him by, you know, by the head. His foot. My mind said, no, if you just don't move, he probably won't strike. Crawl right on, crawl. Easy, this time. And it didn't worry me real bad till he got behind my back. When he got back behind and I couldn't see him, I was like passed out. But I let it go. And they asking me about snakes all at the time. Saying, have you ever seen a snake? I thought to say, yes, man, here's one of the biggest things I've ever seen in my head. But I did. And here on I said, Lord, just help me. It looked like that boat stopped in the middle of the river. I had it wide open, but it looked like it was going back the other way. I took one, he went on, and there was a big glass back there, you know, and I guess he thought he could get out back then. Took his head up on his glass and crawled up into there, and I was about to sing. So when everybody got out of the boat, I said, you all have your body snickers. Look at that thing, you know. Great.
They got out the boat then.
Yeah, they're all out the boat.
Oh, God.
Oh, for 3 weeks after that, every time I think about that snake, I was nervous, you know. But I didn't have to let him just
go in and check the boat and see if there was a snake on board.
And he's just taking his time. That was the first one I ever caught in there, but it was the first one that got on me. Go right across my lap. And I was shaking for 3 weeks after that.
Well, this thing was called snake right by my leg. I didn't know it. You said the pastor said, what you doing there? You ride with that snake all the time? I looked down and seen it. I have a damp towel there and he's on it. And I told him, move it, y'all go that way. I come in stomping and stomping, and he jumped overboard. No,
he
didn't.
Did,
he got
you
away.
Get out, did he
got
get
away.
You were stomping it?
Yeah, trying to kill
me.
Well, just excited, I guess.
Yeah.
How many of you have
you worked on a boat together?
Together? Just one.
Just one person, and they would...
One man boat.
Boat the boat and do the...
Everything.
Yeah.
Well, one night they were going to give me a special trip. Some club wanted a special trip before they picked me. I went down to the river, everybody had a good time, they had their drinks and everything. It was high, they were having a good time, and because we got the night now, we didn't have any lights. And the only way I could come back was look up like this and see the opening in the trees, and I tried to stay in the center of that, but you see down there, I couldn't see, and they was having a big time striking matches and lighting cigarettes, and when I was praying to God to try to get back. I don't know how I got caught down there, but they had a special trip for a late trip that night. And I flew around there and hit a rock down there in the bottom of the river, and told you, knocked the
pen, broke the pen.
Broke the pen and the propeller, and I couldn't go, and the boat started going back down the river to current. So I got on the bow of it and pushed it over to the side where it got over there, and I tied that boat. I had to go through that swamp.
Oh.
And the water was up to here from that swamp.
Right.
And I come out down the river about, about a half a mile from there. The people were worrying me so bad, they were, you know, panicking until I just had to leave that boat. They were going to quit me or something. So I got out of that boat and went and walked. The only way I could tell which way I was going was the dog. Was hear the cars once in a while, and I knew that was the direction to go to get to the highway. And I went through there, I don't know, and I got out to the highway, and I went down and got another boat, and went back down there and got those packs.
Wow.
And it was 10 o'clock at night. Ooh, that was, I had to leave that boat.
So why do you didn't see an alligator along the way?
One well, didn't catch me out there. I'm not that sea, but that swamp is water out there, man.
Did you see many alligators in the early days? Or
no, yeah.
I wonder if any of those have been brought in or something by ABC.
It was natural.
They didn't have to bring them things in.
Yeah.
But what happened to them? They began to take them all from off our glass bottom boat trip. Take them way down the river up below our glass bottom trip where the people, they could say, if you take the jungle cruise, you'd see alligators. That was because the jungle cruise would go beyond where the glass bottom boat went. So, he got into it one day, and we would look for alligators and find them, and we wouldn't tell the jungle crew people where they were. And when we catch them, they weren't looking, we would show them alligators anyway. So this fella here, he went down there one day. He came back. Well, the jungle crew man heard the people talking about it. He said, "Show you alligators?" And some of them will say, "Oh, we don't see them alligators. We don't see one on the glass bottom boat trip." That made him mad because we were not supposed to show alligators.
He passed off once a year, dude.
And so he went to me and asked this fellow, he said, "Where was that alligator down the river?" He said, "Down the river." He said, "Where about down the river?" "Down the river." "I'm going to tell it just like it is. Now, you'll fix it like you want." So Mr. Chewy got mad with William, and he went up to Mr. Davidson's house. I told Mr. Davidson he was going to get a baseball bat and knock him in the head. I think he was sick. Mr. Davidson was a very common man. I don't know what kind of a man he was, but I love him anyway. He says, "What you say to him?" He was eating his breakfast. My cousin was cooking for him. He says, "I'm going to push one of them niggas' head open." He wouldn't tell me where the alligator was. Mr. Davidson was eating breakfast. He said, "What did you say to him?" He told him what he said, but he's going to knock him. He said, "Let me tell you something to him." He said, "When you come here, you find him, and you go down at you. You're now on a good road to leave him down there."
He didn't know it too.
But now I know every nigga I got down there, and he ain't gonna bother no white man for nothing. Now, what did you do to him? He went to jail. He said, "Now, if you want to stay here, you better go down there and try to make friends with them. Because they're gonna be here when you go." He would take care of it. Now, the reason why I didn't have all white guys, as a lot of people required, it was simply because the boys was always flinging with the patches and putting out, and they didn't make the guys. That's how I compared all color guys.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, well, that's one of the main reasons. It wasn't that they loved us, but we fitted better in that position, you see.
Oh,
Well, that was, I'm sorry, I never did get to know Mr. Davis.
He was not.
He had died shortly before I moved back.
Every Christmas, a bunch of dollar, silver dollars, everybody.
And silver spring ornaments. I got one or two now.
One year, paid off in silver dollars, everybody. I think he got one of them in.
I don't know what you all want to know about, but the thing about the glass, the lecture to the glass bottom boat, that was pretty interesting.
And what gets me, I never didn't like to, I didn't want to do the glass bottom boat. My cousin got me into it, a crowd, rock crowd. I didn't really like to talk.
No, you know what I was doing?
You didn't like to talk to the passenger?
Never did, nobody.
We was the man on the, you was the man on the front.
I was getting the tickets, paying them early, making early money. And
yeah, what it was, William. Lawrence Racker went down to the river. Davis come to me and asked me, what are you going to do with Lawrence? You'll never make
a guy out
of it.
He went to the post office to quit.
He said, what are you going to do with him? I said, I ain't but one thing I know, Mr. Davis, and that's to persuade William to let Lawrence have his job on the dock. And let William run back. But William wouldn't want the glass bottom boat when he first went. He was the little overseer there on the front, you know. So I told him, I said, boy, you make 10 times when one out you run one of these boats and you will sit around and tie these boats up.
That got it, then.
I said, come on. What really started the thing off, I was, had them traps and things, I went and bought me a new car. God, he didn't never see one of them things on the man, you know. So I persuaded William because we always come up together children, and I knew he could make more out there than he could on that dock. And I worked with him for I don't know how long, but a good time before I get him to change his mind. But once he got out there, they only started making that money now, and I think he liked it very well. I said, man, you can make more money 3 times when you can't.
But when you talk about the man that was up front, or in the front, who was that and what was that person's duties?
He was kept the passengers on, or the ladies sometime, and expected to take the tickets and stuff like that. And turn them in at night. That was his main job.
How much was a ticket on the river?
$2 a time, wasn't it?
They had when we first started, it was $1 trip, a 30-minute trip, and an hour trip was $2.
That's right.
We called it a long trip and a short trip. Right. One was 30 minutes, one was an hour. We paid $2 for the hour and $1 for the half hour.
That's right.
We saved 14 points of